up and welcome to the Dynasty Happy Hour with your hosts, Doug Eddy, Tim Keller, and Tyler Gunther. Bring us all inside the huddle. Whether it's in season or off season, this is your spot for the best and in-depth Dynasty fantasy football advice. So let's not waste any more time and get right to it with Doug, Tim, and Tyler with another Dynasty Happy Hour.
Welcome back to the Dynasty Happy Hour. God, it's nice to be back. I feel like I haven't been on the pod for a while. We've got a special episode with my boys Tyler, Tim. We brought back our guest from our Bold Predictions episode, J-Mike, because we are here to be held accountable to our takes, which for me, not too bad. For the rest of the guys,
yuck.
We're gonna start really, really hot. I just wanted to let you know that we are brought to you this week by Trophy Smack. Make sure you check them out, like you said in the intro. DHH ring. Get that free ring. It's baller. And we can do that. So we're going to talk about some bold predictions. Man, we had some good ones. And, you know, the thought process, I just listened back to the episode. The thought processes and a lot of these were very, very good. I could dig it. But you know what? Sometimes the thought process we tell ourselves, just doesn't play out in real life. So we're here to bring it back and to go over those takes and be like, wow, we fudged up, guys. Like Alan in The Hangover, which is probably one of my favorite games of all time.
I fudged up.
Definitely fudged up on a few of these.
Yeah. But hey, J-Mike's here with us tonight. He's our guest. So welcome back, J-Mike. Give yourself a quick plug. Say hello, where we can find you and what you do and all the beautiful things that you contribute to.
Listen, I'm just glad that you guys are actually welcoming me back after the absurdly horrendous performance that was Hot Takes back in July this year. Mm-hmm. So first of all, thank you for having me back. Again, J-Mike here at J-MikeCheck on Twitter, co-host of The Open Bar. We do the Dummy Blitz over with the Dynasty Dummies. I think I need a few mea culpas here. I don't even know what else to say.
You'll have your opportunity. We're all going to give opportunities to talk through the process, so you know we can avoid the ugly shower cry, and you know we can turn the page and move on to 2019. This is the chance where we turn the page.
Yeah,
and J-Mike's talking about how he's happy he's coming back. With how bad it takes, I should actually be giving up Dynasty Happy Hour to somebody. Like I shouldn't even be here. Somebody else should be taking my seat for...
Just bring somebody new in. Hey, how are your hot takes? Can you do better than that?
Yeah.
Are they
Bill
freezing
Gates,
cold?
Cool. Yeah, Bill Gates, DynastyHappyHour.com domain is open. Yes. I'll
he's probably like, I've never heard of any of those guys. I'm just too busy counting my dollars, guys. It's awesome. So let's get it started, because I have this feeling this is going to be a fun episode. It might be a little lengthy, so we're going to try to jam it in within an hour. We're going to go to Tyler first because out of all the four of us, Tyler fell on the cross harder than anybody else. So what I'm going to do from a format perspective, I'm going to go over all of Tyler's takes. And then Tyler's going to talk himself through it. He's going to try to mea culpa himself. And then at the end, we'll all chip in, make fun of him, and make him feel like an awful human being. So, which is really what it's all about.
So to paint a picture for everybody, I'm standing on a huge plank of wood with gasoline doused all over me and the wood. And after
everything
said,
like the little girl
done,
with grayscale.
After everything's said and done, the match is lit, and boom, I'm done. Like that. That's pretty much how bad my takes were.
Yeah, Stannis, his daughter, just getting burned up in front of him. There's Tyler.
Oh, that was a horrible
Bye-bye.
Scene.
All right, so let's roll into these. I'm going to go over them, and then, like I said, we'll give Tyler a chance to talk through it and make him feel a little bit better. So here are Tyler's bold predictions, hashtag hot takes, for the 2018 season. We had Corey Clement goes over 1,000 yards total from scrimmage,
oof.
10 touchdowns, and he is a top 24 running back.
Oof.
We also had Martavis Bryant outscores Amari Cooper.
Who?
And is a high-end wide receiver, too. And he did say that he will not get suspended.
Did I win a little bit?
Well, no, you said he wouldn't get suspended. He did.
Not till later, though, right?
You'll have your chance for your mea culpa. We had Leonard Fournette would have 350 carries, 1,800 yards rushing, 16 touchdowns, over 50 receptions. He was quote unquote, he fully believed in Leonard Fournette, was I wrote that down. That is verbatim. We also had that Tyler Eifert and Jordan Reed would play 16 games each. And when they would each be a top five tight end. Just if you're keeping track at home, they played 17 games total between the two. Mm-hmm. We also had sure. We also had that Aaron Rodgers is the third best quarterback in the NFC North after Kirk Cousins and Matthew Stafford. And last but not least, his scorchingest take of all was Sam Darnold in week two will take over the starting job for the New York Jets. In his rookie year, he would have Cam Newton type numbers. The Jets would be in the playoffs, and he would win the offensive rookie of the year. Tyler,
are you sure I didn't say Baker? I swear I said Baker.
No, you said Sam Darnold. I just listened to it before the show. Don't try to fool me. So, Tyler, talk me through this, and you know what's going
on. So the Darnold take, I actually feel okay about. I don't feel like I was too far off. I think Darnold at the end of the year showed big time flash since he got hurt.
Yeah, he was great in that Pats game.
Yeah, when he was hurt, I think he learned a lot from the playbook stance. So I feel actually good about my Darnold take, who is still my quarterback one of this class. Darnold was. So I feel good about his future. Leonard Fournette is a guy who needs to try harder. The dude just, he doesn't seem like he cares.
He's going to have to do it on the next team he's on.
He looks heavy. And I know we said that episodes ago that I think he looked heavy. He looks slow, even though he's got great breakaway speed, but man, he doesn't have the oomph that I saw back when he was drafted. And yeah, the other takes, like Aaron Rodgers, he didn't have a good year, but neither did Kirk Cousins. My take probably would have panned out if
Stafford was awful.
Yeah, if Kirk Cousins or Stafford did anything, I mean, that take would have been on.
So I will give you some credit because there was the take that wasn't official, but I wrote it down to make you feel better about yourself. You said that Nick Chubb would be behind only Saquon Barkley amongst rookies in rushing. He finished third behind Saquon and Philip Lindsay. So you were pretty close on Nick Chubb, and he wasn't the starter going into the season. So yeah. I give yourself a small single finger tap on the back for that one.
But yeah, it was a rough hot take season for me. Corey Clement, yeah.
Ride or die with Corey Clement.
That's been Tyler.
I will give a shout out to J Mike because he did make the point. He called you out on Corey Clement and was like, hey, Darren Sproles is coming back. Jay Ajayi, like, there's a lot of mouths to feed. So J Mike was on it with Corey Clement. And he was on it with one of mine, too, which I'll point out as well. Because I'm not against pointing somebody out that told me I was wrong. Because it's cool. Like,
I just posed a question because I think that it's important when someone wants to bring out a hot take. Let's think through this before we just start talking gobbledygook. You know? And the Corey Clement thing, I think that's what's most disappointing about that is the fact that he actually did get an opportunity to show what he could do. And then he didn't capitalize off what we had saw from the prior postseason. So I think that that's the part that's most disappointing is that he's not who many thought that he was.
I would like to counter your counter because I think he did have a couple very good games. He did show well. He got hurt. He was hurt a lot this year.
Injuries do play a big factor in a lot of these takes. There, I mean, one of my biggest ones was all about injury. So yeah, I can be like, hey, look, I got it right. Oh, my guy.
So real quick, Doug, before we run away from it, Tyler, are you still buying into Corey Clement at this time? I'm just curious.
I think if I can get him for dirt cheap, yeah.
You can get him a late third or early fourth?
Late, yep. That's exactly my thought, exactly what I was going to say. If you can get him for that, heck yeah, I'd buy. Because Ajayi's gone. Josh Adams showed well. Sproles is leaving.
Josh Adams is he's a big load.
Yeah.
I think they're going to – I think, you know, if there's a team that might trade for Leonard Fournette.
God, he would be good on that team. Let's not give the Eagles a bigger head than they already have.
Well, they don't need a bigger head when their quarterback has a big old, you know what I'm saying? He's swinging that thing around in the playoffs like it ain't no thing, just slapping people upside the head with winning games.
Using it to block punts and kicks.
go into that. I want to talk about that before we move on to takes. Because the whole Nick Foles, Carson Wentz thing. Okay. I think it's ridiculous people saying they should trade Wentz. I've heard people say Maybe the Broncos should call up and ask about Wentz. See what his price is. See what they could get.
I did see someone tweet about that with a God offer deal, Godfather deal.
And like maybe, but no. The Eagles traded a boatload to go get Wentz.
Yep.
Nick Foles, I don't think played particularly well in the first half at all. Like I was saying to you guys, if we're gonna praise Nick Foles, we should be praising Lamar Jackson for his second half because he had an outstanding second half as well. It's just, I think based off what Nick Foles did last year and what he's doing now, it's a streak. And I think the Eagles need to trade him because I think Wentz is outstanding.
Did you see that tweet someone put out comparing Carson Wentz and Dak Prescott through like similar games played in their career?
Yes.
That was very eye-opening because, I mean, Dak gets largely disrespected in the dynasty community at the quarterback position, right? But he's finished as a QB1 all 3 years he's been in the league, right? So yeah. It was very interesting to see, like, you know, because Dak doesn't turn the ball over very often, and Wentz has a penchant to turn the ball over more. So their statistics are very similar. And I think that, you know, people last year were saying Carson Wentz was the number one dynasty QB, right? There was a time period where he was the number one QB in dynasty, where Dak is, at that time, just largely viewed as like a high-end QB2 in like Superflex leagues.
Yeah.
So I think it's I just thought it was an interesting tweet with them comparing the stats between the two. It was eye-opening when you don't see names and you're like, oh, one's Carson Wentz, one's Dak Prescott. I would have never thought that. So it was interesting. It'll be interesting to see what they do. I mean, Tim, you're an Eagles fan. You got the banner right behind you. Like, what do you think about Foles v. Wentz? Are you going to go with the guy that wins you playoff games and won a Super Bowl? Or are you going to go with the younger kid? Like, it's a tricky
spot. I just had this conversation on here a few weeks ago. But yeah, I'm going to go with the younger guy, we'll just go with it, the better prospect.
Okay.
The better arm talent. I love Nick Foles for everything he's done for the Philadelphia Eagles. And you see it, like, he's the anti-Tony Romo. No offense to Tony Romo. Great quarterback. But it was just something about those big moments, those big games. Something always happened. Maybe it wasn't just Tony. Maybe it was that Cowboys team. But it all comes back on the quarterback. Where Nick Foles, it's just something in his head goes the opposite direction. I don't care how big this moment is, how big this spotlight is. I'm going to make this happen. I'm going to figure it out. And, you know, it's not always Nick Foles. Like last year in the Super Bowl, it was which defense was going to make that one play. And the Eagles' defense made that one play. It wasn't Nick Foles. But Nick Foles gets that credit for being the Eagles' quarterback that won them a Super Bowl. So I'll go with Wentz here in this little debate. But
go ahead, Jay.
I was just gonna say real quick. To be fair, I mean, while the defense didn't make the play to win it, I mean he did score 50 points.
Oh, yes, yeah.
I'm just curious, and we can keep it moving, Doug. I'm just curious, what happens when Nick Foles wins a second Super Bowl in a row?
Oh my God, you can't get rid of him.
And Tim's talking about trading the man.
So
you can't. You can't.
Why
not? Why can't you trade Foles? The man's coming off two Super Bowls.
That would be disrespect on his name.
He's a Philly legend.
He'll always be a Philly legend. There are murals in the city of Nick Foles. Murals. People have painted like the sides of buildings.
And they eerily look like Napoleon Dynamite every time. It's weird.
So
could you imagine trading the Rocky statue to New York?
So
could you imagine that?
Rocky ain't going nowhere.
Say,
Hey, get that out of your mind. Rocky ain't going nowhere. Nick Foles, a whole different steal. We won't trade a fictional boxer, but we will trade a real deal quarterback.
So all I'm going to say is, since the Eagles have been hashtag blessed with Nick Foles, I want them to trade Wentz and then Nick Foles fall on his face in 2019 and be like, oh, there's the Nick Foles we know.
He can't fall on his face. He's got that tripod holding him up.
I was just going to say that. That is excellent. Yeah, mind meld right there, Tim. Ooh, he just hovers. He gets up like Zay Jones when he went backwards.
So that's how he did it. All right.
That's how we did it. All right. So we're going to – so you guys want to flame any more of Tyler's takes?
All right. I'm going to let myself move on. Just –
all right, Tyler. Now we're going to –
great tactic, though, Tyler. Completely got us off your takes. Let's take it a whole nother angle. We'll get on this big topic. They won't even talk about me. We can move right on to the next guy.
So by the way,
his deflector shields were up.
By the way,
yes,
Tim actually nailed that 100%. Like, not even joking.
I love it. It was a great tactic.
Damn it, Tim.
Well, we're gonna palate. We're gonna cleanse your palate here because you know it's hard wearing the crown when it comes to the bold predictions. But I will cover mine, and as I go over mine, I will briefly explain them because you know I don't want to go over them all and then go circle back. So we won't do that. So my first one was a bit of a clunker. I had that Marcus Mariota was going to be your NFL MVP with a 4,500-yard, 30-touchdown season. And shout-out to J. Mike, who called me out. He said, you know, he wasn't sure about Marcus Mariota's health and continuity in the offense. And he was right on both things because we saw Marcus Mariota really struggle not only with continuity and getting in sync with his receivers, but also the health. He had the elbow issue that plagued him. He didn't even finish the season. It was Blaine Gabbert in a must-win game against the Colts to get into the playoffs. So you are absolutely spot on that one, J. Mike. You know, I didn't think my thought process was too bad on Marcus Mariota. Just didn't happen. So we're going to move on to some good ones because I did have some ones that I nailed. And this one is an injury one. So, you know, there's the caveat. I said Jerick McKinnon would finish under 1,000 yards from scrimmage, under 5 touchdowns. I was called the wet blanket. by Tyler. He's like, yo, Doug, you're wet blanket. Oh, this takes terrible. Well, guess what? Jerick McKinnon didn't have any yards. So whatever. I win. he tore his ACL in the preseason, so I can take the W. I'm not going to eat it, but I'll take it on that one. I also did predict an all-LA Super Bowl, which is still in the cards. So we'll see where that takes us. That'll be fun. And we had some other Super Bowl predictions later. One of the other ones I had was Keenan Allen would lead the league in targets, receptions, yards, and he would have double-digit touchdowns, which would lead the league. So he did finish with 136 targets, 97 receptions, 1,196 in yards, and then 6 touchdowns. He did miss a game because of his injury at the very end of the season, which killed most fantasy owners that week because he got him the big old bagel in week 15, I think it was.
Yep.
So Keenan Allen, he still had a low-end wide receiver one season. He did not erupt. And now that I think back on the thought process, I don't think Keenan Allen will ever lead the league in yards because he doesn't have that dynamic. He's not a space guy. He wins with the nuance of the game, and he doesn't have the speed like a Julio Jones or one of my next takes. And he's not really speedy either, but he doesn't have the size.
His locker room? Anybody see his locker room video at all?
Keenan Allen?
Tonight? Yeah. No. So tonight he had his phone, and he was showing a video. So no joke. If you have not checked it out, it's on the Chargers Twitter. If you guys are paying attention, go check it out now. The dude has bumps on his shoulder blades that looks like wings have been clipped off of him. No joke. Check it out right now if you're listening as well.
Interesting.
Go to the Chargers Twitter. There's a video of Keenan Allen celebrating. He has huge bumps.
Are you triggered by this? Is he a sell now because of these bumps?
I don't know what they are. It bothers me.
Hashtag like, no shoulder bumps.
No, seriously. Like, you guys got to see these. It is insane. There's somebody that actually thought it was a therapy, like the hot glass cup that sucks up the skin.
Oh, like a cupping? Like cupping?
Yeah.
It could be.
Like, yeah. Somebody
like the swimmers,
thought it was
like the swimmers of the Olympics had when they had those red marks all over them.
Yeah. But P.S., there is no glass. Like, it's him.
All right. Well, we're going to move on from shoulder bumps because that's just weird. But so one of my side takes was against Tyler's Martavis Bryant outscoring Amari Cooper. I said that Ryan Switzer would outscore Martavis Bryant, and ding, ding, he did.
On a different
Ryan Switzer
team.
That makes it even better. Ryan Switzer, 51.4 points to Martavis Bryant's 36.4, taking the W on that one. The next one, who I said was going to be this year's DeAndre Hopkins, who was a huge buy for me, quote-unquote, and a top-five, quote-unquote, player. Mike Evans, I said he was going to have 1,300 yards and 10 touchdowns. He's going to have a big bounce-back season. He finished with 86 for 15, 24, and 8. So he did have a big bounce back season. I thought he'd get double digit touchdowns because every other year, Mike Evans, like clockwork, was double digit touchdowns until this
year. Seriously, Mike Evans, most hated receiver in fantasy football.
For no reason.
For no reason.
For no reason. Yeah. I love the tweet got meta when it was like, oh, all these people not tweeting about Mike Evans' great season, and everyone was tweeting about it. So then it was like null and void. So Mike Evans was my big buy. So that worked out nicely. Jimmy Graham, I said, would finish outside the top 12 at the tight end position. I told you it was the last chance to trade Jimmy Graham for like a second round pick when the buzz was high when he signed with Green Bay, because we all know that Aaron Rodgers doesn't like his tight ends all that much. Jimmy Graham, I know he bundled his hand and he couldn't catch passes and whatever. So he finished with 55 receptions, 636 yards, and two touchdowns. I didn't think he – I said if he goes over six, I'd be shocked. He finished as the tight end 12. So he didn't finish outside, but he was edging. He was playing outside the pants.
Bad tight end year. Bad tight end year as well.
Yeah, real bad. Terrible tight end year. So close on that one. I had Jake Butt as a tight end 1. We didn't get to see that happen through two games. He did have 8 receptions and 85 yards through the first two games. If he kept up on that pace, he would have been a fringe tight end 1. So I'm
Jimmy
wrong.
Jimmy Graham would have been 13 and he would have been 12.
See? You know what? What are you going to do? I also had that John Brown would have 1,000 yards and 6 touchdowns and be a wide receiver 2. He finished with 715 yards and 5 touchdowns. His pace with Joe Flacco, he would have went over 1,000 yards, and he would have eclipsed 6 touchdowns easily because John Brown was a solid wide receiver 2 through the first 6 or 7 weeks of the season. So in my heart of hearts, John Smokey Brown is still a wide receiver 2. Obviously, when they put in Lamar Jackson, the whole Baltimore passing game got flushed down the toilet from a fantasy perspective. So I still believe in you, John Brown. And then I also, the last one that I had was Aaron Rodgers finishes outside the top 5 quarterbacks, which I remember Tim saying that as long as he's in Green Bay, I don't see that happening. He was the QB7 on the year, but we did see an epic QB year with Patrick Mahomes and Andrew Luck bounce back. You know, Deshaun Watson finished in the top 5. So, yeah, Aaron Rodgers was outside of the top 5 at QB7. So there are my hot takes. Pretty good hit rate. So talk to me, boys. You know, what do you like? What do you don't like? Give me praise. Spit in my face. I don't care.
I'm already on fire. I'm on fire at the moment, so I can't really talk. I'm still burning.
just a quick bit of foreshadowing. 2018 Jerick McKinnon still outscored 2017 John Ross.
That's so true. That is very, yes, and we'll get to that momentarily. So yeah, it's very true.
Now, Doug, you did very good on this. You took some, instead of just projecting what guys were going to do, you took some of the different route and said what they wouldn't do. And I think that helped you out. You had some guys that you were low on, and you put them out there as hot takes, and it worked out.
Yep.
The hate, yeah, I mean, the hate made you stronger.
I write in Imploders article. I've done it for the last few years now, of players that I won't touch at ADPs. And that was one of the things. Like, Jimmy Graham was just a player that I won't own anywhere. One of the players that J Mike had, who we were on the same page with, you know, he ended up hurting you at the end of the season.
Real bad.
But he was on my list as well. And, you know, and J Mike had it as a hot take, which is pretty fun. Yeah, I mean, it's fun to, you know, to give it a different spin and say, hey, this, you know, it's nice to be all positive, but we all know that with the positive, there's got to be a negative, yeah, right? Yeah. For it to equal it out. So that's my process. I don't like to think of like the all sunshine and rainbows. I like to think of like, all right, what players are landmines that I just want to get away from? Sure. And you know, and sometimes it works, and sometimes I'm horribly wrong, which I've been in the past too. Hey, if anyone was really good at this analyst thing, then we wouldn't be talking because someone would know all the answers. So
it's all right. That's the way I look at it. 2019, I'm looking for regression to the mean for my hot takes. Looking to be back to the norm.
Corey Clement's going to have 150 yards from scrimmage and 1 touchdown.
There you go. There you go.
You know what? That's it. I'm out of here.
He's taking his AirPods and he's going away.
I freaking hate you guys. I hate my friends. All right, so let's get to J Mike. I'll go over his some good ones here, and by good, I mean, hey, you know what? There was a couple I will give you Moss credit for here as I go through them. So
you know what though? Before you get into these, I want to remind everybody: these were our hot takes. We were trying.
Yes.
And,
oh, you're
and
trying
you hear
to be
from,
bold.
From like the opening of the show. We're just talking about who can just bring the fire, who can bring the heat, who can just put a flamethrower to all this and burn the entire thing to the ground. And for most of these, we were trying to do that. So,
yeah, exactly. So let's.
Yeah, J Mike's still trying to grow eyebrows.
Yeah.
Look, man.
All the hair went to his beard.
My wife's pencil's working real well.
You get that really
podcast form
that fat marker. Just
yeah, the fat Sharpie.
Ooh. Yeah. Definition.
Nice. You can feather it so it looks like hair. Anyway, beauty tips with Doug Eddie. How you doing? All right, so let's go over J Mike's. So J Mike was quote unquote very confident that John Ross, who is currently wide receiver 66, at the time, would be a top 24 wide receiver. Now, the interesting part of this take was there was some extended speech about the Bengals offense, and not one of us mentioned Tyler Boyd. There was talks of Andy Dalton. There was talks of Brandon LaFell, obviously Joe Mixon. No one even mentioned Tyler Boyd's name. So shame, shame, shame. We are like Cersei Lannister with the chick ringing the shame bell behind us. And I know, Tyler, you're a Tyler Boyd guy, but you
I know. It's huge shame on me again. So this is just shame me episode.
Yeah. So one of J-Mike's better ones was Phillip Rivers would be the MVP. He would go through the league like a hot knife through melted butter, which was probably my favorite quote of the whole podcast. and he said that the LA Chargers would be AFC champs. So that is still in the cards for him. We had Ronald Jones would be the highest scoring rookie in 2018.
2019, yeah. I thought.
Yeah, well, he won't be a rookie in 2019. I know he didn't see the field much, but he still will be. He won't be categorized as a rookie next year.
Well, NBA rules, I think NBA. He'd be. Yeah, he'd be considered a rookie.
The Blake Griffin stipulation.
He was a September call in baseball. Games. He can still play as a rookie. Yeah,
He's got the Ben Simmons stipulation. He would be an offensive rookie of the year candidate. His player for most improved would be Samuel Watkins. Would be a top five wide receiver, and this was his ghost pepper take. He would go for 1,400 yards and double-digit touchdowns was the one. And that was a Bookham Dano, which was J-Mike's quotable of the podcast. Now, I will give J-Mike credit here. He did give a shout-out to Chris Herndon on this podcast.
Yes, he did.
And Chris Herndon ended up being a thing for you in fantasy this year. So shout-out to J-Mike for that. And last but not least, he had Kareem Hunt finishing outside of the top 18. Spencer Ware was ready for the taking. Well, guess what? Even though Kareem Hunt got cut and he missed four games, he still ended as the RB11. Son of a bitch. And Kareem Hunt was my guy that I thought was going to implode, that I thought he would get overtaken by Spencer Ware. So now I'm team Damian Williams. Let's go. Talk to us.
Team, what is it? Josh Jacobs from Alabama. He'll be a Chief.
Listen, there were lots of regrets, you know?
No regrets.
I'll start with the good.
Melted
the
butter.
Chargers, yes. Phillip Rivers has had an absolutely fantastic season.
Yep, nailed it.
The Chargers are killing it, and they're moving on to the divisional round. I mean, literally, they were one game away from winning the West and being the one seed. So
yeah, I mean, it's just shame the divisional round is as far as they're going to get.
Ooh, look at this Pats love over here.
I'm not.
Who's undefeated at home?
Maybe in 2007.
Undefeated on the road.
I'm not here to debate the future merits. I'm here to talk about the past, Doug. Phillip Rivers had a very good season. If you had him on your fantasy teams, he was probably incredibly consistent for you as far as in your super flex leagues, someone that you could lean upon. And Chris Herndon, really liked him out of Miami. I thought he could be at least somewhat special in the league, and it was cool to see him break out so soon. Now to the bad. Sammy Watkins, he actually played well when he played.
Agree.
In this instance, he actually, when the person fell on his foot and they showed it in slow motion, it wasn't one of those things like, oh, there's old trick foot again. It was like, okay, like anyone would get hurt in that instance. It just so happens to be that the guy with the trick foot, I don't know if you guys saw the cartoon growing up, Wayne Head. Based off of the Wayans character, where the guy had this giant boot, it's basically Sammy Watkins. It's like this giant one foot it's monstrous. And then the ugly, John Ross. I'm not sure if you guys know this.
Had a bunch of touchdowns.
John Ross actually was a red zone monster.
I like how all of his touchdowns were from like 4 yards. With a guy, the fastest guy in the league, gets all the short ass touchdowns. It was so bizarre, so weird.
So on Madden, he's actually a red zone threat, not a deep threat. So I mean, get with it. But he actually tied for the lead on the team in touchdowns with seven.
Seven. Yeah.
Jesus.
With Tyler Boyd in playing in less games. So it was ugly. I still have hope in John Ross. And if you thought that the bottom could not be lower for him, I mean, people are probably ready to give him to you at this point in your league. So
I'll take him for free.
I am too. I will too. And I'm still confident.
Get him
in
as
John
a throw
Ross
in
as a player.
Get him as a throw in.
Yeah, so yeah, that's my year in review. Your thoughts, guys.
Can we talk about Rojo? I know, Tyler, you were talking to Tim as I jumped on earlier, and you guys were having a conversation about Rojo. I mean, obviously Rojo was the most disappointing rookie running back in the class, right? You know, he had the horrible preseason. Peyton Barber, who J. Mike made fun of, and I was like, you know, Peyton Barber almost had 1,000 yards this year, by the way. So, hey, I invested in him dirt cheap. So what do you guys think for Rojo next year? Obviously, there's a new head coach. Turd Cutter is out of there. You know, it could be Bruce Arians is the next guy. We don't know yet, but they interviewed him. They like him, which I would love for Jameis Winston, by the way. Like, give me all the Jameis with the Bruce Arians.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
a YOLO coach with a YOLO quarterback.
Oh, give me all the Yos and all the Lows. I'll take them.
So going to what Tim and I said during, you know, when it was just me and him. Rojo is going to get a new coach, and in the spring, when they're just wearing shorts and helmets, he's going to look fantastic. And that coach is going to look and be like, why was this guy not played? Why was he not used? And he's going to get an opportunity. He is a high draft pick. He's a five-star guy. The dude is talented, and I think he had a lot of pressure. And I think Dirk Cutter, I don't know what the heck he was saying to him, but just destroyed his confidence by keeping out the first 5 weeks. He's a young kid. He was 20, 21 years old coming into the season. And you take a kid like that and you take away that confidence that he had, that swag that he had in California.
So he had, this is his Jeremy McNichols season then.
Jeremy McNichols, though.
He lost confidence. Same team.
Yeah.
I know he wasn't, hurts. I would know he wasn't as highly drafted, but McNichols was a great prospect coming out of Boise.
And all you hear is that running back coach just destroying him too. Just giving him sweet nothings. Just saying, oh, you're not doing this. You're not doing
whispering
this.
Whispering in his ear.
Yeah.
Ronald, you need to learn how to pass block.
It would suck. So I think it's a huge time to buy. You could get him for a second, like any second. And I think you'd be okay with it.
You could probably...
If you can get him for any second in a weak running back class, for a guy who was drafted early second round, like I think 37th overall he was, if you can get a guy like that on a potent offense, and if they get Bruce Arians, holy cow, defenses are going to be worried about the pass game. Yeah, give me a ton of Rojo in 2019.
Yeah, he's a guy that I'm going to try to – I don't own Rojo anywhere. So, but now that the price is right, I think it's time to come on down and get some nice. Rojo on your team.
I see what you did there.
I'll play some Plinko and get him on my teams. Absolutely.
I love Plinko. Plinko's the best. That's the best game.
It was awesome. That's fair. The two things to those points real quick, and I don't want to hold us up. But
oh no, you're good.
Peyton Barber. This was his last season under contract. Next year, he's a restricted free agent. And obviously, like you said, with Turd Cutter being gone, the hope is they bring in someone and let him at least have the opportunity to show something, hopefully. Also, speaking of people being out of town, the old OC
Monken
in Tampa Bay, who for whatever reason Cutter would take play calling duties from at times, I don't understand.
Yeah.
He is either visiting or will visit the Cincinnati Bengals for their head coach opening.
Love that.
According to reports, in which case, really would be at least a little bit excited about the prospects of the Cincinnati offense, because I feel like Todd Monken was someone that even Evan Silva shouted out early in the season as being one of the better play callers, better users of talent.
He knew how to use DeSean Jackson when he was healthy.
Yeah, so I think there's hope for both of those guys, and Rojo to a lesser extent, which saddens me deeply. But all guys that you can buy low on at this point, if you're still willing to take the risk.
Yeah, and you can probably buy low on O.J. Howard still too.
Yeah, and going back to Monken, he was a guy I wrote about in 2016 when he first was OC. I was a huge Mike Thomas out of Southern Miss.
The good Mike Thomas.
Yeah, I was big on him. And Monken was the head coach there. He was a guy that, you know, made that offense run. Jalen Richard was the running back for him. He looked great, good enough to get some eyes on him for an undrafted free agent. Monken is a good play caller. He's a guy that knows how to use weapons, knows how to get them, use their skill sets what they should be used for. And, yeah, the fact that Cutter took play calling from is ridiculous to me. And back in 2016.
And then they stunk, and then he gave it back to him. I mean, Tampa didn't have problems scoring points.
Yeah, and Monken loves to target his number one and give one running back the ball. So if he was going to Cincinnati, Mixon, oof, he's going to get those big-time touches.
I mean, even more than he did this year, which is a good segue because we've got some Joe Mixon talk. When we talk
that's all the time we got for the Dynasty Happy Hour this week, folks.
We still
got to get me. Oh, sorry. I thought we were running low on time.
Yeah, no, Tim, we've got plenty of time. We've got about 20 minutes if we want to take it. So let's roll. So let's get into
You got to take this L, Tim. I'm sorry. Look, Tyler just took it on the chin. He kind of had the glancing blow after he tried to switch it up on us. Mm-hmm. I just took it on the chin. Doug just had his victory lap. Tim,
you know what,
it's your
though?
Turn.
You know what, though? I have this one that we're going to save to the end that I love. I love the fact that I even spit this out of my mouth a few months ago. I can't wait to get this.
Let's go over these. So, Tim, his first one was DJ Moore would be a top 20 wide receiver. And in the background, it's not in the background, but you did hear me say, don't forget about Curtis Samuel.
Yep, I heard that.
Holler
and
at me.
Tim also said, I love
another
Curtis
one up for Doug here. We'll just put a little check mark here. Doug.
Okay. Yeah.
I say a lot of things. Sometimes they stick. What can I say? The second one was Jamison Crowder would be a top 15 wide receiver, which I loved because the signs were there. The thought process was good. Yeah. Alex Collins would be running back 10 or better.
And I tried to get him to go 8.
You did. And that Flacco was pissed and he was going to have a great season. The next one was Jordan Howard would lead the league in rushing touchdowns. He finished 10th in the league with 9, so not terrible. Tavon Austin would be an RB3 in PPR scoring. In parentheses, I wrote ice cold when I wrote this one down. And then last but not least, this is probably Tim's closest one here. Joe Mixon would be a top 5 running back, although at the time he said that was not hot enough. Joe Mixon finished as the RB9, so he wasn't too far off there. So, Tim, talk to me.
We'll just start at the top. DJ Moore. If he had a better quarterback, he would have been a top 20 wide receiver.
He showed flashes.
DJ Moore, I said in my hot take that I thought he walking onto that Panthers campus was the number one wide receiver for that team. It took a few weeks, but we all saw that change happen. DJ Moore, obviously.
Devin Funchess.
Yeah, DJ Moore is the future at wide receiver for that team, along with Curtis Samuel. Very good, Doug.
Hey.
The Crowder, I'll stand behind that thought process all day.
Same.
I mean, you have a quarterback in Alex Smith that was coming into a new system that was known to be short and intermediate route type of offense with a quarterback that specializes in those passes with a wide receiver that specializes in those routes. I thought it was a gimme. Health, you know, the system, the new quarterback, all of it just didn't work out, and it is what it is. The Flacco, he started the year off semi-hot. He was doing okay. You know, they started to flatten out there towards the middle of the season. We all know that Lamar Jackson took over there, and we saw what happened today in the playoffs there with the rookie quarterback. I know I'm missing one here, but Jordan Howard, again, I thought that Bears offense was going to march up and down the field, and then Jordan Howard just have these easy plunges. And had they maybe used him all season long like they did the past 3 weeks, 4 weeks, that may have been a little bit closer. But Jordan Howard started to turn it on there towards the end of the year. I'll skip over the Austin take for now and go to Mixon. I thought that Bengals offense for sure was going to be hot fire. Bill Lazor, as his second year as the offensive coordinator there, you know, and that offense at times was very good. We spoke about Tyler Boyd. We spoke about A.J. Green. We spoke about
Tyler
all the
Eifert.
Players. Tyler Eifert, yeah. Ooh, Tyler Eifert. But, no, I thought that with all those options there that the Bengals had and the improved offensive line, that Mixon was set to have a breakout season, stamp his name on it, and be, I'm one of your top running backs in Dynasty. You know, top 10, you can't be mad at it, but it wasn't close enough to the top 5. And my hot fire take was the Tavon Austin, what'd I say, RB3 in PPR RB3, format? RB3,
yeah, PPR.
You say a RB3 or the RB3?
I said an RB3, so like,
I
you know,
I thought you said
to...
the RB3.
No, I didn't say the.
Taking over for not... Zeke.
I was going
Zeke.
Hot. I
Girly
wasn't trying
Zeke,
to go insane.
Tavon Austin.
Yeah. No, we were all pretty much sold, at least us, you know, those of us on this show on the DHH podcast were pretty much sold that Zeke was going to get fed the ball in the running game. But the thought process, at least for me, was this wide receiver core pre-Amari Cooper trade was a hot, hot bag of garbage, and that they'd have to find some other sort of passing options. I imagine them using Zeke in the backfield, having Tavon Austin on the field as well, put him in the slot, let him run some routes. And being that he was listed as an RB, he would just rack up passing stats. And, you know, that's how he'd work his way into the RB3 in PPR formats. That just never happened. They,
yeah, he got
they
very, very few touches.
I mean,
yeah,
yeah,
we
they,
didn't
they,
know Gallup would settle into the wide receiver two job quite that well.
I think one of my favorite things from this season was the unlocking of Ezekiel Elliott in the passing game.
Yeah.
How many
yeah,
catches did he have?
That's another thing is 70? We didn't see that coming.
But he had over 70.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Zeke and that, was just an absolute we all knew that he could do it. It was just a matter of them figuring out like, oh, hey, we got one of the best running backs in the league. Let's see. He can do everything. Maybe we should throw him the ball?
Yeah.
Weird. And it worked out well. Yeah, that's probably one of my favorite storylines. Just from, you know, a player seeing a different skill set that you knew was there and then them finally being smart enough to incorporate it in their playbook. So that was a really good one. I, you know, Tim, I'm with you on the Jamison Crowder thing. He's a free agent this offseason, and he's a guy you can get super cheap. He's not very old. If he goes to the right spot, like let's say he goes to Green Bay and replaces Randall frickin' Turd Cobb. Like if Jamison Crowder went to Green Bay, like – that would be pretty cool. I would like that. He's like a cheaper, better version of Randall Cobb.
Yeah, yeah. Agreed.
I was thinking somewhere like Seattle. You got Tyler Lockett, who's the deep guy. You saw what Russell Wilson does when he throws to Tyler Lockett.
Yeah, they don't have that good guy underneath. I mean, David Moore is
exactly what I was
going to
say. If they take that guy in Tyler Baldwin. Lockett and his defenses just decide we're going to stop Tyler Lockett, all right, Crowder's going to eat underneath all day.
I mean, Baldwin's a slot player, so we got to look at that.
What about San Francisco?
Everybody wants everyone to go to San Francisco. Is Antonio Brown going to be a San Francisco 49er? I mean,
you got to think about that.
Off seasons.
Yeah, you got to think about that, though, is Crowder actually had Shanahan as a coach, didn't he?
That's true.
Rookie
That's
year.
That's my point.
Yep.
Yeah. And look, man, for him to have everything turning up roses with Nick Mullins, like, dude, give me a piece of San Francisco, period. I don't care who it is.
That's true.
Just name the price. Like,
McKinnon.
Give me a piece of San Francisco.
Give me
somehow.
All the Dante Pettis in my veins. That's my guy.
There you go.
Yeah. Pettis
McKinnon,
is my guy. I'm trying to
Kittle.
Get him everywhere. Garcon's gone.
Yep.
I think I was looking at the other day.
Goodwin's
cap hit is like $6 million, something
they'll
like
keep,
that.
They'll keep him around, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, they have the flexibility to not if they don't want to. So.
True.
I just find it really interesting. Like, man, go get a piece of San Francisco.
So so we're talking San Francisco wide receivers. So obviously one of the big storylines in Dynasty this last week has been the whole Antonio Brown situation. So there's been reports that the Steelers are going to trade him. We know it's a huge cap hit if they trade him, which I always find funny. Like in other leagues, when you trade the player, his salary goes along with him. But apparently in the NFL, you're just like, I'm just going to eat all this money. So whatever. It's just really weird the way that they have the collective bargaining agreement.
Yeah, we'll pay him and you can have him.
Yeah, it's so strange. So if we're going round robin here. If there was one team that you would want to see Antonio Brown land on. All right, Tim's got the Eagles. Let's go to Tyler. Where would you ideal fit for Antonio Brown, which wouldn't necessarily hurt his value at all?
San Fran. I'm with J. Mike. He'd get fed so much because Shanahan loves feeding the number one. We saw it with Julio. We saw it with Garcon in Washington. If Antonio Brown was in San Francisco, he'd get 180 targets. And I think that's the low end.
Okay. J. Mike, what do you got for a landing spot for Antonio Brown? Don't steal mine.
I don't think I'm going to.
Cool.
I was just trying to look at teams and figure out what that would look like for people. How crazy would it be if he ended up opposite T.Y. Hilton?
Oh, you took mine, you son of a bitch!
I knew you were going to say the Colts because that's the only like other juicy
they
one
have
where they don't have.
$121 million dollars in cap room.
They do.
Could you
Chris
imagine?
Ballard, GM of the year.
Is it though? You have $121 million and one of the greatest receivers of all times on the board. Go make it happen.
Yeah, absolutely go make that happen because we all know that outside of T.Y. Hilton, it's the ragtag gang of Chester Rogers, Zach Pascal, Dontrell Inman off the street, and then you've got Eric Ebron.
Deion Kane is on IR. Watch for him next year, Deion Kane.
That's true. I would love to see AB with Andrew Luck. That would be juicy AF. I would love that. That would not hurt his value to me one iota.
Yeah,
because we all know Big Ben. Like, yeah, going from Big Ben to Andrew Luck is an upgrade. Like, yeah. Big Ben, he targets AB a ton, but he's not the most accurate passer. I mean, 11 passes that were intended for AB this year got intercepted, I think was the stat that I saw. Give me Luck and AB in that against those AFC South opponents. He would torch Malcolm Butler all day. He would torch Jonathan Joseph and his decrepit old body. Like, it would be lights out for AB, and business would be booming for my dynasty teams if AB went to Indianapolis. So I would love that. Anybody else have any feedback for Tim on his bold predictions? Who's the Ravens running back next year? Is it Ken Dixon?
Gus Edwards.
They used Dixon a ton today. I know he put the ball on the field. He fumbled, but they used Gus Edwards a lot. You think it's Gus? He's just a guy to me.
Yeah,
on the roster.
They don't like paying running backs.
Well, they don't have to pay Ken Dixon.
I think Jay Mike hit it on the head, though. I think they're going to get somebody else that's not currently on their roster.
They're going to draft somebody in the fourth round that comes out of nowhere.
Peyton Barber seems like a Raven.
That's so.
Yeah, true. He does. Right? He really does.
I mean, they kind of have Peyton Barber on the roster already.
That's a Raven. Geez.
Everyone's on the Benny Snell train.
He's good.
His sleeper status is waking up. Let's put it that way.
I just brought him up because we have a very large Benny Snell fan in the house with us.
Yeah, Benny Snell, not a sleeper anymore. Thanks, Twitter.
I'm a big Benny Snell fan.
Being from Lexington, obviously I back Benny Snell, but I think people are going to be really shocked when he's not picked until like the fourth or fifth round, and they're going to be like, what happened? Like,
which is the Ravens round.
I don't know. I like him, and Baltimore is a place I'd like to see him if he goes somewhere. New Orleans, but we're not talking about that. Sorry, Baltimore. Yeah, I don't think they're running backs on the roster right now, and they love Kenneth Dixon. They even got him involved even at the tail end of everything this season to continue to wet the palates of those.
And he looked good.
And he did. You're right. And then he looked like an old man today when he caught the pass over Derwin James, and like I don't know what was up with him, but who knows, man.
Interesting situation. It's one of the more interesting backfields in the offseason.
Yes.
And of course where does Le'Veon Bell go, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Not to the Colts. They don't need him. Move on.
No. Get Antonio Marlon Mack. Ooh. Marlon Mack. Wow.
You know, so on this hot take episode, I said to stay away from Jerick McKinnon, and I whispered as my other one was Marlon Mack. So I wasn't correct about
that.
I'll
just keep chalking him up, Dougie.
You know, hey, I'm here to be accountable and show some humility and say that, you know, Marlon Mack had a pretty decent season. I am still concerned over all the injuries. He does miss some time. You know, obviously Jordan Wilkins didn't do anything in the back half of the season. And Nyheim Hines, I think he's one of only a very small amount of rookie running backs that has ever caught over 60 passes. So don't forget about Nyheim Hines is what I'm saying.
Yeah, so Marlon Mack's okay year, also being hurt, he had almost 1,000 yards and 9 touchdowns.
Yeah, so. I mean, here's the thing about Marlon Mack, though. He's going to be that classic 15 carries for 125, and then next week he's going to get 9 carries for 25. So that's why in fantasy he is one of those players that is very frustrating to own because the highs are great, but the lows suck.
P.S. I'd give up a late first for him.
2019 or 2020, doesn't matter.
2019.
Yeah, staying away from that 2020 class. You smart. you smart, boo. Cam Akers is coming. I still believe.
Can I ask you guys real quick of everyone who finished at the top of their position? I think it was Mahomes, CMC, Devontae Adams.
Saquon took over CMC by like a point. Yeah, but it was close. Yeah.
Devontae Adams and Travis Kelce. Which of those was most shocking to you? Who finished at the top?
If it was CMC, I would say him. But
I would still even say Barkley, because you never expect a rookie to come in
with that bad of an offensive line.
2,000 yards from scrimmage, take the league by storm to finish as the RB1 when you got guys like Todd Gurley and Alvin Kamara and, you know, some of the other big names. Obviously, Le'Veon Bell didn't play. So, but going into the season, you could say like Le'Veon Bell could score the most points in the league. I would say Saquon would be probably the most. Kelce, I'm not shocked. Devontae Adams, he finally went over 1,000 yards. He had the touchdown, so I'm not shocked there either. Mahomes, surprising, yes.
That's where my pick would be, Mahomes.
Yeah, I would say probably I would lean Mahomes as well, because, you know, when you think of QB1s coming into the season, I didn't think – no one thought that Mahomes was going to throw 50 touchdown passes. And if you did, kudos to you. If you did and you don't have proof, then you're a bullshit-faced liar is what you are. But, yeah, I would say Mahomes.
Yeah, so with Mahomes, people weren't valuing him that high. Because, I mean, his one game he played.
He had seen one game.
He was a wild card.
He was supposed to.
Yeah,
he didn't throw any touchdowns. He threw for like 280 against the Broncos, and he showed flashes.
He made
had a couple
good throws.
Some jaw-dropping passes, like, oh damn. But other than that, we didn't see anything mind-blowing. So when people were trading for him, it was, I don't know, trading the pick for Baker in Superflex leagues. Like, people were all on Baker or this rookie class. And I actually saw a couple in single quarterbacks where it was, you know, a mid-second to get back in. And a lot of the people won the league with Mahomes. So I think he was more surprising because we didn't see this coming.
I think the real question for 2019 is who scores more points, Patrick Mahomes or Josh Allen? Why is everyone laughing?
We just taking rushing stats.
I was wrong on Josh Allen.
Is this your first hot take for 2019? Because that was going on.
Oh, yeah. You know, put what? It on the board. Doug likes fine. Josh Allen down. To outscore Patrick Mahomes in the 2019 fantasy season.
It won't be on the hot Doug take down. Episodes. You're gonna have to really look for find it because I ain't writing it down.
Wrong.
The, I'm the funny
down
thing
for
is
one for wrong for next year already.
The funny thing is, we're all gonna remember this if Josh Allen does. Like, if Josh Allen does, we're gonna be like,
we'll all forget it, and Doug will remember it. Bring
and
it up.
Like, hey, remember
year.
When I said Josh Allen would outscore Patrick Mahomes, and you guys thought I was apeshit nuts? And I'll be like, hey, here I am.
By the way, I love Josh Allen going forward.
Everyone was wrong on Josh Allen, except for very, very few. There were a few people out there that said, you know what, we know he's raw. I don't think he's going to be a terrible quarterback. I don't think we ever saw this rushing production. We knew he was athletic, but no one saw averaging 90 yards a game over the last month of the season and being like the QB1 in fantasy, I think, for the last month. Just banana land. Like, no one saw that coming. And the future's bright there in Buffalo, I think. Robert Foster came out of nowhere. Zay Jones, as much as some people don't like him, he had a productive, 3 out of 4 weeks to end the season. You know, they've got some draft picks. Who knows what they're going to do at running back? I mean, running back's replaceable, so they got Josh Allen. He's their running back, more or less. But behind a garbage offensive line, like the Buffalo Bills, if they draft right, I don't want to say they're going to have an Indianapolis Colts type of turnaround, but if they do some right things, they could maybe win. Not the division, because that ain't going to happen. As long as Tom Brady's around.
not for another totally 15, for 20 years. Jeez.
Maybe they could be a wild card team next year. Possibly.
Yeah, Tom Brady's going to be back next year. They just put some oil on his joints. You know, the robot that he is.
He's going to need it running from Melvin Ingram and Joey Bosa next week. Hopefully he doesn't have to. But anyway, I digress.
Before we leave that question I just asked, just as a point of clarification, DeAndre Hopkins passed Adams in total points in week 17, looks like.
Okay.
But points per game, Adams had 22.
Yeah, because Adams didn't play week 17.
Right. And with Devontae Adams, I think that he's somebody that I think preseason was maybe in startups, you might be taking him in the early second, perhaps, maybe late second.
I would say mid to late second. He's a first-round pick right now, according to DLF.
Spoiler alert for the future DHH article that's coming for this, but we just did a mock. Mm-hmm. And it is very interesting where Devontae Adams went. Stay tuned.
Wasn't he eight?
Don't spoil it. He said spoiler alert. Tyler, don't you know how spoiler alerts work? Jesus.
No.
Did you know Bruce Willis was dead at the end of 6 minutes?
But no.
By this website.
Can't get spoilers right.
Did you know that Han Solo's son killed him?
All I know is Rich Dotson from Dynasty Nerds. He said Evans over Davante Adams, and I'm a huge Evans guy. I said no way. And he said Adams would be in his top 8 overall. And this was before
season
the season.
He's in that MySpace top 8.
So I got to give Rich Dotson some credit for being on the Adams train before that thing really took off.
Yeah,
I know people hate him. Like
Adams was a guy
ago.
That I was down on because of those brutal concussions that he suffered last year. So I thought he was like if he gets one hit to the head, like he's toast. But no, he was healthy he was almost healthy all season long except for week 17. He had a shot at breaking Sterling Sharp's single season receiving record for the Packers.
And sat out.
And he sat out. So hey, maybe he'll get it next year. Who knows? I mean, he's gonna get all the targets unless they get Jamison Crowder at wide receiver. So, and of course, my boy Aaron Jones is gonna catch like 75 balls, and it's gonna be beautiful.
Yeah, but is okay. Last thing we're gonna talk about. Aaron Jones scares me with this new coaching staff because it's not going to be their guy.
It don't matter. If you watch any Aaron Jones tape and you'd be like, "Oh, I don't like this kid," then you shouldn't be a coach in the league.
Giovanni Bernard's a good running back, but he doesn't get many touches.
He's not Aaron because they have Joe Mixon. Are you telling me that Jamal Williams is Joe Mixon? I will drive to Minnesota and punch you in your face.
I am saying that Aaron Jones is not Joe Mixon.
Maybe he's better. So limited. So he had. Just in case you were scoring at home, he had almost 1,000 yards from scrimmage and 9 touchdowns, and he was suspended for 2 weeks, and he wasn't a starter until what, week 8 or 9? You extrapolate. Now I know extrapolating statistics isn't always a great process. But if you extrapolate that out, he's a 1,500 yard from scrimmage and 14 touchdown player.
I would sell.
Sell him to me. I will gladly buy Aaron Jones. All the Aaron Jones in my veins. I already own him everywhere anyway, for the most part.
He's a fourth. He's a third, fourth round startup guy I have been seeing. So that's pretty high for a guy that, I mean, had some flash. Don't get me wrong. I just, with a new coaching staff coming in,
talent
worries
wins
me
out.
A little bit.
Talent wins out. Coaching staffs, yeah, I mean, that's a cool narrative, but the talent's going to win out. And I'll stick with that all day.
Tyler,
Tim,
hold on.
Tim, back me
Tyler.
Up here.
Rojo, what did you say is going to happen in spring practice with Rojo?
He's going to look good.
He's going to look good because he's going to be in shorts and helmets. When you put Jamal Williams and Aaron Jones in shorts and helmets,
night
who is going to look much more electric?
Well, I'm not saying that. They could go
when you
draft
have
somebody.
Them in
they could
full
sign
pads
somebody.
In a game, who looks more electric?
What if they sign somebody? What if they draft somebody
Why?
That's
you
all
got
Green Bay never signs
backs,
running backs.
You're not going after anybody.
When's the last time Green Bay signed a running back?
I'm just saying Jeff Fisher
when's
comes in
the last
in,
time
head
that
coaching.
Green Bay signed a running back?
All right. We'll see.
I can't even think of it, and I'm trying to go through like the Amon Greens of the world. Like in players before him and after him. I can't remember them signing a running back. It was all guys that they drafted.
Don't
now, maybe
get me
they
wrong.
Draft a guy. Cool.
Don't get me wrong. Aaron Jones looked good. It just makes me nervous with the fourth round startup pick.
I ain't got no worries. Coochie in my face. I ain't got no worries. G Mike knows what I'm talking about. You need to get hip, Tyler. All right. I think it's going to wrap us up because I'm starting to get triggered. I'm starting to sweat a little bit. I'm getting upset. I've got a sweatshirt on. It's a Ravens.
We still have a Patreon
even.
Episode to record, so.
Oh, then I'll be extra saucy for that. That'll be good. I'll be extra belligerent, which is always fun. So yeah,
speaking
great.
Of which, go over there and join our Patreon. You
Please.
Can join up for just $1 now. There are other options, but you can join up for as little as $1. You get the extra episode every week. We are doing the scouting notebooks over there, so you get the earliest thoughts on what we think of this rookie class before we start getting into it here on the Big Pod. And yeah, it's good stuff. It's worth the money. So go over there and check us out over there on Patreon.
I'm going to give you two options. Poison your body with a McChicken sandwich for $1 from McDonald's. Or sign up on Patreon and get an extra podcast that you can listen to while you drive into work. Buy that McDonald's.
And I'll give you extra pickles.
Yeah, pickles is a Chick-fil-A thing.
Tim, you're not helping. You're not helping this. You're supposed to choose the Patreon. You're not supposed to choose the big chicken.
No, I'll give you dust, pickles, bro. With the Patreon.
Oh,
pickles and right. Patreon. That sounds like a nighttime show.
It's pickles.
It's the pickles on Patreon pod with DH.
Actually, you sign up for the extra dollar. We'll give you the pickles and Patreon episode.
And if we and you know what you should do? You should forward all those pickles to Scott Fish's house.
Yeah, he loves pickles.
He loves pickles.
Loves them. So I just wanted to thank J Mike one more time. You can find him at J Mike Check on Twitter. Thanks for coming back with us and giving a little retro swag to our bold predictions and how fun they were. That's why they're bold. They don't always work out, except if, you know, you're me.
Oh, Jesus.
Just kidding. I took some L's. Okay. So I've been Doug Eddy, your host, with Tyler Gunther, Tim Keller. Keep listening and you'll find our Twitter handles because it's in the outro. Thanks to Tyler's beautiful editing. We will be back next week. Sign up for Patreon. We out ya. Peace.
That's all the time we have for Dynasty Happy Hour. If you're looking for more fantasy football advice, be sure and follow the guys on Twitter. Doug at DaFantasyFather, Tim at DHH_Tim, Tyler at DHH_Tyler. Check out DynastyHappyHour.com for rankings, articles, ADP, shirts, and so much more. Need a question answered on the show? Hit the guys up on Twitter at DynastyHHPod, on the contact link on the site, or by email. DHH at DynastyHappyHour.com. Music is brought to you by the Fantasy Hitman, Mike Wright. We'll catch you back here next time for the Dynasty Happy Hour.